We come now to the reading and of God's Word in Luke chapter 17. So let's turn there in Luke chapter 17 so that we might hear the Word of our God. And there we are looking in chapter 17 at verses 1 through 21. 1 through 21 of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 21. These are God's holy words. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down and eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink?' He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" While he's on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And those are the words of the Lord. The chapter begins with Christ teaching his disciples about not being a stumbling block to the gospel. And he warns them, and that warning is attached to this, with some instruction on rebuking and then also forgiving those who repent and turn from their sins. And about that stumbling block, because some would ask the question, well, isn't Christ the stumbling block? And isn't the gospel offensive? And it can be a stumbling block to some. And does that mean then we don't proclaim the gospel, that we would not be one of these found to be a stumbling block? But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't get in the way of the gospel. And let Christ be the stumbling block if he is to be the stumbling block. Don't let your life, like 1 Peter, be holy as Christ is holy, so that you won't be the stumbling block. And that when you tell the gospel, you don't tell it in such a way where you're putting yourself in the way of the gospel, but rather you're just telling plainly the gospel. at sinners, that the person who you're talking to needs to repent of their sins, the many sins they have, just as you had sins and have sins, and they need to turn to Christ for their salvation. And then the disciples, the apostles, asked that their faith would be increased, and he tells them to pray. If you have need of something, pray for it. And then through verse 10, Jesus teaches about humility. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you are to do what you are commanded to do, because if you love God, you will keep His commandments, like He says in His Word. So do what you're commanded to do and seek no reward for doing what you're commanded. That's what you're commanded to do. You're, as we heard in Sabbath school, we are set free from our sin, and yet we are slaves at the same time. We are slaves to God. We're slaves to Christ. And so he uses this imagery or the language of a slave. And being a slave, we are free, and yet we owe our entire life to Christ, because He gave up His life that we might have life in Him. And so, do what you are commanded in Christ, and seek no reward but what Christ has already given you, and your reward is great already. It's guaranteed you. It's an inheritance that is beyond understanding, and such blessing. And then he goes the rest of the passage through. We see the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Of which one returns, only one of the 10 returns to thank Jesus for healing him, and the other 9 did not. The one that thanked him fell down and worshipped him, because he believed, faith, he believed and humbled himself before Christ. And then the last two verses, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees concerning the coming of the kingdom of God. And Jesus responds telling them that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand right now. Just as John preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, because Christ is coming and has come. And we know the kingdom of God, the apostles, the Pharisees ought to have known that the kingdom of God had come, because the Messiah was right there in their presence, right before their faces. And they could see Him. And it's a great comfort to us, because Jesus says, even about the Lord's Supper, that He will drink that cup anew with us when the kingdom of God comes. Well, it's already come. And when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we're not only partaking in communion with one another, we are partaking in communion with Him as a foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And a lot of people misunderstand that verse. And they think it's something in the future. No, it's now. The kingdom of God has come. And Satan has been put in prison. That is, that the gospel goes forth, and that the Satan is not hindering it, because the gospel, the kingdom of God has come. And that's now. Not that it's in its final state, because the final state will be the new heavens and the new earth. And we look forward to that. But here we are shown, as the kingdom of God is in our midst, we're reminded of the text of Scripture and the command, repent and believe. And that's the meaning of what we have read here. Repent and believe unto salvation. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful in Christ that You give us Your Word, and You give it with clarity, that it's often simple to understand. Often we get in the way of understanding it because we still have remaining sin. But it really is, for the most part, easy to understand and grasp. And often when we hear Your Word read and preached, and various things are pointed out to us, hopefully, Father, we ask that Your Spirit would work in us, that this would be true, that we can say, well, we could have seen that in the text. We didn't need the pastor to see that. And yet, these are Your means, and we're thankful that You make Your Scriptures clear. And sometimes we do get in the way of that. And so, Father, even in that, we ask that You would forgive us of our sins, and You would shine a light in a dark place of our minds and hearts, which has the remaining sin, and Your Spirit would be at work in us. And as we hear your word, that we, as we hear it, would not be a stumbling block and have hard hearts or hardened minds, but that we would receive it because it comes from you, and that your Spirit would work by filling us and doing that great work of hearing, and that we would see our sin and repent, that is, to turn from our sin and turn back to you. And that, as we'll hear in a few moments in Exodus, that we would put to death our sin, that we would destroy it, and that we would turn anew to you, that we would believe with faith what you teach us and what you say, that it is absolutely, perfectly true, and that what our opinion is doesn't matter. What we have always thought doesn't matter. It is what you say that is truth, because you are the God of truth, and your word is truth. And so we pray that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would make us humble, that you would humble us and grant to us a great humility, where we see that you have saved us, not we ourselves. We have not saved our own selves, but you saved us, and we are and owe our entire lives to you, and that whatever you bring for us on this earth and in eternity to come, we accept, Father, as that which is good for us, knowing that you would never tempt us beyond what we are able to bear, and that you'll not discipline us to the point of destruction, but you'll do exactly what is necessary for our sanctification and for our life and for the good of your church. Father, we pray that as we go forth, that we would tell people the gospel, even though we struggle perhaps in our personalities, and our personalities get in the way of telling people about the gospel and about your Son. Yet, Father, we pray that we would not be a stumbling block to those who hear the word, to hear the gospel, and that we would not be a stumbling block by not telling people the gospel, but rather we let the word and your Son be that which causes salvation by your Spirit, and that which might also be the stumbling block and cause offense by your word and your Spirit. We trust your plan. We trust you because you have given all for us in Christ. Father, we pray that you would heal our bodies and strengthen our bones and muscles. We pray especially for Ron and Karen this week as they travel, Lord willing, to Arizona to look for a home, and pray that you would give them success and that you would heal Karen's body. And Father, we pray that you would also bless us, our presbytery, as we meet the end of this week, and then as also I travel, myself and Oliver with me, that you would give us safety, not only for Ron and Karen, but for us as well, and that you would cause the elders at the presbytery meeting to rule according to your word with all godly wisdom. And Father, we pray that you would save those rulers over us, our government, our authorities. You would save them, and you would cause them to love you, and they would see and submit to Christ the King. We pray these things in the name of Christ, who is King. Amen.